Maseches Chulin is an absolutely fascinating Masechta. Maseches Chulin is structured in a unique way. Almost every single parak is a new world. Almost every single parak is a whole new topic, a whole new mitzvah. The beginning of the year, we were focused in Ian, the first parak on Ian and Shechita, and now we turn to parak Kol HaBasar, which is predominantly about Basar B'Chalav. The end of Kol HaBasar is about Chelev and Dam. Together, that already covers four different areas of Hilchos Kashrus. You might be excused if you thought that the topic of Maseches Chulin is Kashrus. It could be a more accurate way to describe Maseches Chulin. Not really Kashrus, because you've had the opportunity in Bekiyas to begin to sample some of the other later prakim. Reishis Hagei, Shiluach Hakein, not really about Kashrus. Kisi Adam relates to Shechita. A more accurate way of describing what Maseches Chulin is and Masechta is about, perhaps, is halachas of animals. Halachas of animals and birds, which are not karbanos. Most of the halachas of animals and birds have to do with karbanos, and that's most of Seder Kachin. But the Maseches Chulin is about Chulin. It's about non-kadosh animals and birds. And many of those halachas have to do with kashrus, like Shechita and Treifus and Gid Anasha and Basar B'Chalav and Chelev and Nav, and many of those halachas don't. Perakah Over Rotev is about halachas of Tumas Ochlin as it relates specifically to meat and other animal products. And as we mentioned before, a whole list of other prakim, other mitzvos that have to do with animals and birds. Some specifically about wildlife, like Shluch HaKein, some about animals, some about birds, some both. And the first Mishnah, we could zero in on the first Mishnah, and then we could also zoom out in the perspective, in larger perspective. Larger perspective of the Psukim, larger perspective of the Masechta. So the Mishnah tells us how many dinim? The opening Mishnah of the Perek? Three dinim. Okay. Three sentences. Kol ha-basar asu levashu b'chalav, chut mi-basar dagim v'chagavim. Number one, all meat is forbidden to be cooked with milk except for the meat of fish and grasshoppers. So we know that the Torah has, this comes up at the end of Perek Eilu Treifus, and the third Perek. Third Perek also is mostly about Treifus, but the end of the third Perek is about Minim Ksherim, which species of animals are kosher and which are not. So you know, when you look at that, it pops up in Parshas Shemini, Parshas Re'eh, and they look at four different categories. There are kosher land animals, and there are kosher birds, and there are kosher fish, and there are kosher grasshoppers. So the land animals sometimes get subdivided into behemoths and chayas. If you want, you can think about a total of five categories of kosher species: kosher behemoths, kosher chayas, kosher ofos, kosher dagim, and kosher chagavim. All those five categories, if some species are kosher and some they're not. So the Mishnah tells me, well, the Basar B'Chalav, loosely speaking, doesn't apply to dagim v'chagav. Or we would say fish and grasshoppers are par. That seems like it's the opening din in the Mishnah. We'll have to take a closer look. The second din, Asr lahalos al im hagavina al hashulchan chut mibasar dagim v'chagav. You're not allowed to cook the meat with milk. You're not allowed to serve it on the table. Put it on the table. Ha'ala. You're not allowed to put it on the table together with cheese, unless the meat, quote unquote, they're talking about is power of meat, namely fish. You're allowed to serve fish together with cheese, but you're not allowed to serve fleshic meat together with cheese. Any meat is forbidden to cook with cheese, to cook with milk, to even serve on the, put on the table, present on the table with milk cakes with cheese, except for dagim v'chagavim. And finally, din number three, hanoder min habasar. Mutter b'vasar dagim v'chagavim. They were moving away from the world of Basar B'Chalav. They take a neder. Fellow takes a neder. He's not going to have meat. He wants to become a vegetarian. So is he becoming a vegan or is he just becoming a vegetarian? or maybe even less.
No,
a piscatarian. That's right. So the Mishnah says, if I take a neder, I'm not gonna have any benefit. I'm not gonna eat. However he phrases a neder, he forbids himself from basar. Basar doesn't include fish. Basar doesn't include fish. Fish is not basar. So if a fellow takes a neder, he's not gonna have basar. So he's still allowed to have fish. He can be a piscatarian. Not only can he be ovo-lacto, not only can he eat the eggs and milk and cheese, he can even eat fish. Those are the three dinim in our Mishnah. Now, what's the point of all this? What's the chiddush? As opposed to chutz mina, we're excluding basar dagim v'chagav, which means we are including what? Poshup sha. Sorrow. Right? If you look at the next Mishnah, turn the page, Tarkuv Dala Mideis. The Mishnah gives already begins to expand our perspective a little bit. Ha'of ole magvina ala shulchan eino nechal dibre beishamai beisil olam la olav lo nechal mechalke beishamai beisil about what? Fish, chicken or some other poultry, bird meat. I have chicken and cheese. So beishamai say it's olav eino nechal. Ola, that's from our Mishnah Ha'Allah. You're allowed to serve chicken on the same table as cheese. Just make sure that any one person is only eating one or the other. And Basil said, no. Not only you're not allowed to eat them together, you're not allowed to even serve them together. Okay. So Rabbi Yossi comments, it's one of the rare cases where Kule Beshamai and Chumra Basil, right? Where Beshamai and Mekel, they both agree you're not allowed to eat chicken with cheese. But Beis Hillel say, you know, you can serve chicken on the same table as cheese, Xeri, and they come to eat it. May nibble, you're eating one, you may end up nibbling on the other. And Beis Shammai say, no, Xeri. A rare situation where Beis Shammai and Mekel, Beis Hillel, and Machmai. So how does that shed light in our Mishnah? And the three didim in our Mishnah, the second one was Ha'Allah, right? Coming back to our Mishnah, Kuf Gimel, our Mishnah said you're only allowed to serve fish on the same table as cheese. So our Mishnah is number one. The next Mishnah makes it clear. The point of our Mishnah is fish and cheese are excluded, but fish and cheese are not called basar, not with respect to bishop Oz Mechav, not with respect to halah, not with respect to neder. But fish is not basar, but chicken is basar. For all three things. You're not allowed to cook chicken with milk, and you're not allowed to serve chicken at the same table as cheese, and if you took a neder from meat, you're not allowed to have chicken either. So, number one, the next Mishnah makes it clear that our Mishnah is coming to say that chicken is basar, and our Mishnah is following the position of whom? Which shita? Bazil, right? Because the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be mala of with the only time you're allowed to serve with type of basar you're allowed to serve with cheese is fish, but of not. Now that's not surprisingly the Stam Mishnah here on Kuf Gimel accords with the Shita of Beis Hillel on Kuf Dal. Of course, we tend to pass on like Beis Hillel. That's just partially reading the Mishnah. Yeah, and Rashi Ray tells it. Right? Rashi Ray tells you call a basar also vashu b'chalav. Alpha gav d'amar achmana gedi. The Torah says lo sevashel gedi b'chalavim. Oh, you can't cook a goat. You can't cook a young goat in its mother's milk. So I could have imagined maybe it's just the goat, just like pet. There are halachas that apply to only one species. You think any halachas that apply to mitzvahs d'oraisa apply to only one species? Petar hamar. And the din of patar by bechar is the din of bechar. The only non-kosher animal has din of bechar is a chamor. There's no din of petar kelev or petar gamal, but the special din in Parshas Bo, this is Parsha, of petar chamor. Okay, another one. And the petar chamor applies to only to chamor. Mechir kelev.
Yeah.
Mechir kelev, the special din the Torah has later deeper in Chumash, that if you swapped a kosher animal for a dog. It's possible for carbon. Dafka, only dog, no other species. That's the chamar, only the chamar. Yeah, but that's not really a din that requires giving it to the dog. But Mechir Kelev applies only to the dogs. I could have imagined. And look, you learned Reish Lageis, that applies only to sheep. Okay, so three dinim daraisa that apply to only one specific species. So I could have imagined, maybe here's the fourth one. Maybe the special din of gedi b'chalav. Only gedi, only a's, only goats. So Rashi tells us, no. It's the first thing our Mishnah is telling us is when you look back at those psukim, lo sevashel gedi b'chalav imo, our Mishnah is saying it's definitely not just a goat. This is not Petach Hamar, this is not Mechir Kelev, this is not Reishas Hageiz. Basar B'chalav is not one of those halachas that applies to just one species. Way more than just one species. It applies to Behemoth, Chayas, and Ophos, apparently. Well, maybe. So Rashi says, That's the backdrop, the first line of the Mishnah. Understand, if you look at the Mishnah, context of the Psukim, it's a big Kiddush. It doesn't just apply to Gedi, it applies to many more species. Now, Mifluk Pligi Ba Lakaman Ikaman Dharma Daraisi Ikaman Dharma. Rashi says, when you get later on, Temblot later, to Kuf Yud Gimel, you'll discover there is a machlokas whether Oph B'chalav is Daraisa Drabam, is poultry, is chicken, Fleshik Min HaTorah, or only Gzeira B'Drabanan. So that's a machlokas that comes up on Kuf Yud Gimel. It's also going to come up in our Gemara when we get to Gemara Daf Kuf Dal. So, but the Mishnah, so Rashi's not taking a stand. Is our Mishnah saying that chicken is fleshik min haTorah or midrabanan? Not yet sure, but clearly chicken halacha lemais, the chicken is fleshik. That's the first din in our Mishnah, and then that's also the second din in our Mishnah. Not only are you not allowed to cook the chicken with the milk, you're not allowed to even serve it with on the same table as milk. Says Rashi, it's exagger. Dilma asilu mechlinu. You might come to eat them ki hadadi. Mikarnagi ubali mehadadi. They may even be in contact with each other. They'll absorb flavor. Afagav shemutru lecha basar achar gvina kitamirin gudma. You're allowed to eat fleshiks after milchiks. That's the sugya. The sugya of waiting between fleshiks and milchiks is going to be after you turn the page. I'll cook down on Vayitz Kofayim Ra'ot. So we'll get to that and return the ins and outs of waiting, and we will discover there, as we know, that you have to wait after fleshiks, you don't have to wait after milchiks. So it would be okay to have cheese and then subsequently have meat, okay, but you can't serve them on the table together because you may end up eating them not just the fleshiks after the milchiks, maybe the fleshiks before or together with the milk. Okay, so far sounds pretty. It sounds pretty straightforward. A couple of things. Number one, let's talk about what's missing from our Mishnah. So even before you get to Tosfos, what's the most obvious thing? I tried to just, the last couple minutes, just to sort of unpack the shtek, as to what's there in the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah not say, by the way?
Achila.
Didn't say that, Achila. It spoke about Bishol, and it spoke about Halah. Strange, the Mishnah never actually said you're not allowed to eat
or
to have Hana or Basvahav. So you saw on Kuf Kazav Lez, the Gemara is a long, I gave you one little snippet of that sugya to see. If you turn to Kuf Kazav, there's a long, long discussion. A whole 5-10 different possible drushes. How do you know? As a matter of fact, they already start on Daf Kuf Yudalin. It goes all the way to Kuf Tezvav. How do you know they're not allowed to eat Bas B'chol? It's not just a problem with the Mishnah, it's a problem with the Psukim. Because, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah, the next, our Mishnah doesn't talk about Achila, but as we saw, the second Mishnah does. Oph is Eino Necha. Right? But in Psukim, it says Lo Savasha, Lo Savasha, Lo Savasha. It's always about the cooking, never about the eating. So how do you know they not, maybe he says, yes, you know how to cook. Okay, maybe you can't cook Bas B'chol. Who says you're not allowed to eat Bas B'chol? We're in Tarim, you're not allowed to eat Bas B'chol. Don't cook it. I won't cook it. Someone else will cook it, and I'll eat it. Is that okay?
It's like Kalayim.
What?
It can be like Kalayim.
Like Kalayim, correct. Like some types of Kalayim, you're not allowed to make it, but if someone else made it, you can eat you have a fruit that's a crossbreed of different species. You're not allowed to create that. If someone else created it, you're allowed to eat it. So maybe the same is true about Bas B'chalav. You're not allowed to cook Bas B'chalav. Okay, I won't cook Bas B'chalav. If someone else cooked it, I'll eat it. Now, how do you know? The Pesukim just say, Lo Sevashio. So the Gemara has a long discussion. This is a very knotty problem. From Kuf Yud Gimel, the Gemara that follows the Mishnah Kuf Yud Gimel, the end of the parak, there's a lot of drushes. A lot of drushes. So one of the topics is this. So far, the Gemara has a whole list of options, and the official option, which Rashi quotes, and gets quoted elsewhere as well, and you saw, is which Tana Devei Bishmo. The official approach of Bishmo's base medrash was, what?
Three times.
If it was only a servicial, Torah should have said it once. Torah didn't have to say it three times. It's only one issa, you only need one pasuk. You don't have to tell me seven times that the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Tell me once. Taka, why did Torah say it twice? Torah doesn't say twice the mitzvah of Kriyashma. The answer is, well, the Torah says in the end of Yahafta and the end of Ayin Shabbat. Right? Shavu Kamecha appears twice. Why? Well, because you have to read both parashas. Okay. So why did Torah say Bishul Bas B'chalav three times? So the Gemara say, Tami Vei Rishmael, the answer is because there are really three different Isurim. Three different behaviors are forbidden. One part tells me you can't cook it. They have two more Pesukim. So the second part tells me I can't eat it. The third part tells me I cannot have Hana. Okay. So why the Torah didn't just say, why the Torah keep calling it Bishul? We'll get to that. Why the Torah just say it straight? Well, as we move further, we'll get there. Okay. So the Pesukim don't talk about Achila, but they imply Achila. Our Mishnah also doesn't talk about Achila directly, but definitely implies Achila. Even Ha'Allah is Asar. It must be Achila is Asar, okay? But we'll return to that. Tosos, when we get to the Rashba further on, we'll see Rashba does seem to be sensitive to the missing Achila. Tosus, as you saw, is not talking about the fact that Achila doesn't appear. What are they talking about? A different gap in our Mishnah, a different Hashemata in our Mishnah, yeah?
Consistent with the parables.
That if you've been learning Maseches Chulin, and you've had the Sostere to begin to learn several Prakim Maseches Chulin, we were listing before all the different topics. Almost every parak is a different, almost every single parak is a new mitzvah. And half of the Prakim Maseches Chulin, particularly the latter half of the Masechta, begin with a very classical format. Opening the Mishnah, Od Mishnah, these Prakim tend to open in a very organized way. We name the topic, and does it apply to both Chulin and to Kachim, or just to one or the other? Does it apply in Eretz Yisrael and not Eretz Yisrael, just in Eretz Yisrael? Does it apply with the Beis HaMikdash, without a Beis HaMikdash? There's so many Prakim. Prakim, Hey, Vav, and Zayin. Hey, Vav, and Zayin, Yud, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Beis. Those six Prakim. Osas Beno, Kisi Adam, Gidan Asha, Zerah L'Chayayim V'Keva, Reishas HaGeiz, Shiluach HaKein, all those six prakim open with that same format. Shiluach HaKein is no egg, this or that. Does it apply to Chulin? Does it apply to Mukdash? Does it apply to Chutzah? Does it apply to Yisrael? Reishas HaGeiz, does it apply to this type of carpet animal, that type of animal? Very, very standard. Almost every single, many of the prakim where it doesn't apply is because it's not really talking about a new mitzvah. The ninth parak is talking about Tumas Ochlon. Not really talking about a new mitzvah. The fourth parak also doesn't really talk about a new mitzvah. But here, in the midst of all the prakim that have that format, here you have kalabasa. What would you have expected? Basa v'chala. No, ba'aretz v'chutzar, v'chulun, v'chutzar, where? Instead of phrasing it as kalabasa asa v'ash v'chala, we should have started, before getting to that, we should have started first with the official opener. Basar v'chalav, no egg, applies in these cases, not in those cases. Right? Let's take a look at two examples. Let's take a look at the Reishas HaGeiz for a moment, just to jog your memory. Kuf Lam Hei L'Alef. Reishas HaGeiz, no egg, v'aretz u'v'chutz l'aretz, b'fnei ha'bayis, shol b'fnei ha'bayis, b'chulim l'v'lom mukdashim. Reishas HaGeiz applies all over the world. Eretz Yisrael, chutz l'aretz. It applies at different times in history, whether they're based on Mikdash or not. But applies Tehulim, but not Mukdash. Okay. That's what we, and then the Mishnah gets into all the details. So why not have that type of introduction? As a matter of fact, Tosafot points out, when you look at the Tosafta, you do such an introduction.
She says so.
Where is the Tosafta?
In the Ozahadar, it has two of the daf. It's really.
Oh, where is the Tosafta? The danger of using a new Gemara.
All the way
back. Having to use the rim. You have the Gemara that have the Mitzray Kodesh in the back. You like to pour the Mitzray Kodesh? Where is it? Here. Perek Shmini. Perek Shmini Halacha Aleph. In Tosefta, they refer to as Halachos. Not referred to as Mishnayos or Toseftos. In the Jews, called Halachos. This is the Perek Shmini Halacha Aleph. Basar v'chalav, noli v'artu v'chatzar, v'chnei b'ayash, lo v'chnei b'ayash, v'chulnu v'mukdashim. And then it gets into, no, d'ben al-basar, as v'chal v'basar, etc., etc., etc. All the other dealings. Does that have to do it? Does that have to do it? Why not Mishnayos? Mishnayos doing all the other prakim, six other prakim in chulim, open that way, in Mishnayos. And in this parak, Tosefta does it, Mishnayos don't do it. So, there are many Rishonim grapple with, this is an opening topic in the majority of Rishonim on the Perek. But as we'll see, there are differences between how different Rishonim grappled it. You may have shown hands, I think everyone had a chance to work through Tosos, right? Everyone had a chance to work through all the Tosos? How many people had a chance to take a peek, at least begin the Rashba? Complete the Rashba? Peek of the Ritva? Okay. So some of you already had the chance to see that there are differences. It may strike your eye because it sounds a little different, sounds different, and as you begin digging more, you want to make it precise. So let's first just appreciate Tosos, and then we'll expand our skiff. Kalabasa Rasavasha Bakala for Tosis Tema. Shocking. Not just in Toma. Tema. This is a real shocker. The low tani bar to the chutzar, if nevai shol, if nevai, the chulun mukdashim. Kemo, the hanach prakim, hanach pirkim. So many other prakim. If you learn Masechta's chulun straight, if you learn the Mishnayos before you learn the Masechta, it strikes you, this parak is so out of place. And as I said, there are six prakim have it, six prakim don't have it, but many of the other prakim don't have it, isn't really a way to have it. Or Varota, the ninth parak, it's not. It's about Tumas Ochlin. It's not really about a mitzvah. Vein Makasha, the fourth parak, isn't about a mitzvah. But here, this would be such an obvious candidate to have that format. How could we only have that Hagadah? And the Tosafta, we do have it. The Shema Maidashir Bimas Nisim Pirish Bibaisa. Well. Tosafot says maybe what was someone wants to know what the word shir means. It doesn't mean shir as in a song, nor does it mean shari as in mutter. L'shayer is like shirayim, shiurim, right? Leftovers. Shem might the shir b'masis in pirish b'raisa. What the Mishnah left over, the Bryce explained. The background of that phrase is Gemara once a while will have a principle. Tana Vishir. That we taught some things, we were shown at Tana Vishir, we also left some things out. And the Gemara always assume that if you have a list of items or a list of dinim in the Mishnah, it's okay to leave out some of them. You wouldn't leave out just one. That's what the Gemara always say, my shir, the high shir, why was this, what else was left out, this was left out. You wouldn't have a list of five things and say four of them. That's odd. You might have a list of five things and say two or three of them. So the Gemara assumes that if you have a list of things, you might leave out at least two off the list. Not every list in the Mishnah is necessarily comprehensive. Tana v'shir. So Tosis is nice. It's not exactly Tana v'shir, but Tosis is using that sort of phraseology, that sort of thinking. Say, okay, fine. So maybe the Mishnah left it out. Okay, not everything appears in the Mishnahs. Mishnahs aren't giving you every last din. And the Mishnah left it out. The Braisa explains it. After all, that is the role of the Tosefta. The role of the Tosefta is to give additional material that surrounds the Mishnayos, but either doesn't appear in Mishnayos at all, or sometimes you have dinim that sort of appear in a terse, concise way in Mishnayos, and the Tosefta will expand on it. So the Tosefta says, okay, so the Mishnah left it out, the Tosefta has it. Yeah.
Why would the Mishnah leave out the introduction?
Yeah, why would the Mishnah leave it out? That's a good question. That's a good question. So at this point, there are two questions you could ask. And Shu is making an important point. At this point, there are two different questions you could ask. Once you have this answer, well, Shia Reb Balsis and Peter's Rebbeis, there are two directions you could go. What are the two directions you can go in? The two obvious logical cautions.
You could either say, why did the Mishnah leave it out? You need to just have to bring it in. Or you could say, why did the Tosefta feel like it needed to then bring it in? Why didn't just completely leave it out?
Exactly. We have two ways to go now. The Mishnah doesn't have it, the Tosefta does have it. And the two logical questions you could ask are either why does the Mishnah not talk about it? Or if the Mishnah didn't have to talk about it, why is the Tosefta adding it? And this is, as you begin, if you keep your eyes open for that, you'll see that that's one of the differences between the Rishonim is which path they take. So Shua's Ha'ara helps us understand the next. It seems at first, if you're learning Tosas slowly and carefully, it seems like there's a jump. Because all of a sudden Tosas says, the Ashmi'inan, the Chayal Isser, Bas Behal, Isser Mugdashin. Ah, we're telling you that Isser Chayal Isser. What does that mean? So on one level, that means, well, if you have something which is already muktash, I take a carbon, meat from a carbon, and I cook it in milk, so it's already aser because it's kachim. And yet, when I cook it in milk, the iser bas b'chol will be chal al gabe the iser muktash. And now I have a double iser, it's both, if I eat it now, I'm both in violation of mukdash, eating mukdashim, and violation of eating basar b'chala. Now, why did Tosas decide to say that? We enjoyed the topic of Enos HaChal Iser when we came across in the first part, but why did Tosas just want to make us feel comfortable? What's the purpose of that line?
Why it's necessary to say all
this. Oh, right. Because this is not falling out of the blue. Exactly. As Moshe is saying, this is explaining, Bas b'chal v'noeg bein b'chulun bein b'mukdashin, what's the chiddush? Well, why should it not be? Why wouldn't it be chal on noeg bein b'chulun bein b'mukdashin? What's the chiddush of that? It's the answer. And who had said that? That is noeg bein b'chulun bein b'mukdashin? Did our Mishnah say it? No, Tosefta said it, right? Or it doesn't seem like our Mishnah said it, anyways. For now, our Mishnah didn't say it. Tosefta doesn't think our Mishnah said it. Mishnah didn't say anything about Dasha. You're looking at me like, wait, the Tosefta. I read the Mishnah with my own two eyes. It's not there. Okay, right? So for now, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about Dasha, but Tosefta does. And they say, well, why are we talking about that? So the answer is, as Shua said, well, there are two questions I could ask. I could either ask, what do you tell me? Shir b'masnis and pirish b'braisa, I can either wonder why the Mishnah leave it out, or I can wonder why Tosefta say it. Tosas is actually asking the second question, but didn't actually ask it. Just implies, that question is implied, and just jumps into answering. The implied question is, Taka, why Tosefta have to tell me? Isn't it obvious? Basar b'chalav is noeg b'muktashin, why not? Basar b'chalav is noeg b'chutz laretz, why not? Isn't it obvious? And the rest of Tosas is devoted to answering that implied question. Why did the Tosefta need to tell me that Bas B'chal even applies to Kachim? Why does Tosefta need to tell me Bas B'chal applies to Chutzar? It implies to Chutzar. Why not? And Tosas is going to give two answers. The first day Tosas explains the Chiddush, it is a Chiddush that applies to Mukdashim. That's not so obvious. It's not a Milsa Zipshita. And the second answer is going to explain that the Chiddush of the Tosefta is the Chutz La'aretz part. It's not so obvious. I would have thought, of course, Bas B'chal applies. Kashra supplies all over the world. Maybe Bas B'chal is different. I couldn't imagine Bas B'chal is different. So that's That's where the rest of Tosis, the second half or more of Tosis, is where two thirds of Tosis is dedicated to that implied question. Why did Tosefta have to say? And we'll get into the answers in a moment. The two answers. What's the chiddush? Either it's a chiddush to explain why it's a chiddush that Bas B'chav is not a b'mukdashim, or explain why it's a chiddush Bas B'chav is not a chutzlaritz. But it's worth knowing before we even go weiter, if we stop for a moment to savor the line that doesn't even appear in Tosafot. I mean the implied question. The implied question of Taka, why does Tosafot have to bother telling me isn't it obvious? That implied question, in turn, implies an answer to something else. In other words, Tosis actually is dealing with both. We said Tosis could have asked one of two questions. Right? Either how come the Mishnah left it out, or how come the Tosefta bothered to say it? But Tosos, without explicitly asking either question, answers both of them. Because by asking, why Tosefta have to say it? Isn't it obvious? Oh, I'll explain to you why maybe I could have had a Havamin otherwise. Asking that second question, being bothered by that second question, is a test of the first question. Why did the Mishnah not say it? Because it's pretty posh. These other dinim, I don't know, Reishis HaGeiz, does it talk, Reishis HaGeiz Taka doesn't apply to Mugdash. Okay, it's a Chiddush. Shuluch HaKein Taka doesn't apply to Mugdash. It's a Chiddush. or there's a reason. No. So, you could ask two questions. Why is it? And in fact, the first question Tosus really sort of asked directly, why did our Mishnah not say it? The first Tosus says, well, what our Mishnah doesn't say, the Braisa said. But then the Tosus goes on to imply, and anyway, it's not really such a Chiddush. By Basa B'chav, it's pretty Pashut. We didn't say it by Shrita either. Pretty Pashut. Yeah, we understand. Of course Basa B'chav will apply. Why wouldn't Basa B'chav apply it to Kachim? Why wouldn't Basa B'chav apply in Chutzlaritz? So again, the line that doesn't even appear in Tosis, the implied question of how come the Tosefta had to say it, Tosis doesn't ask the question, but they're going to give two answers to it. Again, that also goes back to further Bimiyashe, the opening question of how come our Mishnah doesn't have it. So again, first Tosis said, well, my Deshir ben Masis and the period for Braisa, but then we seem to also be assuming it's not such a good. So much so that if anything, I'm bothered why the Braisa have to say it. And now, I say, oh, let's explain why the Braisa say it. Okay, I could explain why it's not so obvious that applies to Mugdash. Not so obvious it applies to Chutzlaritz. Okay. But that means, you know, if I work hard, I can figure out why it's a Chiddush, but okay, I understand why the Mishnah didn't bother to say it. It doesn't even say the Mishnah does have to deal with it. But that's not such a central point, because it is pretty obvious. Yeah.
Doesn't this same question come up in regards to every other time that the instruction is given, where we say, oh, well, that din isn't necessary, that din is obvious, and we say, well, it doesn't matter, it's for stylistic reasons, the necessity of saying it doesn't matter, right? So why now does the necessity of saying it have relevance to it being there?
Why do we say, Sirkei Naket? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Moshe is saying, Mishnayos do often have a certain pattern, a certain format that they'll continue with consistently. Ein bein, and so on and so forth. Even in the Mishnayos, the end of the first paragraph of Chulin. Yesh b'zeh, mashe ein b'zeh, kasha b'zeh, pasal b'zeh, kasha b'zeh, pasal b'zeh. Mishnayos
in
Menachos.
Right.
That is a good point. That is a good point. The pattern is preserved in Tosefta, but the Mishnah does not have that pattern. I don't know. I do not know. But at least in terms of content, yeah, that is a good point. Let's keep our eyes open as we look at the other Rishonim to see if anyone else is raising that point. Not only it needs to be said, there are chidushim to know, there are dinim, there's content that we need to tell you. You need to know that noig b'chutzlarts. You need to know that's noig b'chutzlarts. To which Tosfos is saying, you don't really need to know. It's pretty obvious. You're saying, just in terms of formatting, you would have expected it. Yeah.
Maybe you could say in answer to Moshe's question.
Yeah.
There's no chiddush at all. Like in other some of the other shnayas, there's like some sort of chiddush, or either one that doesn't apply. Like it's an opposite, or that there is some sort of chiddush. Like my shulchan kana is a chiddush that, or actually my shulchan kana doesn't apply to midrashim, and by Mishnah of gods, we would think that maybe it doesn't apply outside of. Very strong. I don't remember what the actual.
And the talk is machlokas.
Like everything is either machlokas or actually is one of those. Isn't one of those ways. It's either a chiddush or it's not that way. But this one, there's nothing. It's completely
partial. Right. Matter of fact, I think of those six, the only one that does, where the answer is yes to all, I believe, is only the first one. I think. Osev has been no. The fifth parak, it applies bein bars, bein chutzars, b'fnei bar, shlo b'fnei bar, tchulin and mukdashim. So this is the only one, right? So here it is more partial, and that's definitely what's dry. That's definitely the background of again what Tosis didn't say explicitly, but their implied question is an answer to the first implied second question, answer to the first question. Again, Tosis' first question was how come Mishnah doesn't have all this introduction after all the Mishnahs do. The question is built on look at the pattern, and the Tosefta even here does. So Tosefta says, well, number one, okay, maybe we're relying on the Tosefta. Why are we relying on Tosefta here as opposed to anywhere else? Maybe the answer to that is because here the content is Pasha. So Pasha, as a matter of fact, that we might even wonder why even the Tosefta bothers saying it. It's so Pasha, but you need to tell me it all. So that goes as well. It's not 100% Pasha. And that's the best way to read. Again, that's a lot of missing words in Tosfos. There's a lot of implication. Again, and just to clarify, we've been spending the last number of minutes talking about all the implications of Tosfos they don't say b'feirush. Just to clarify where we're at, it's in between the word b'braisa and v'ashmeina. All of that we're talking about the last 5-10 minutes is the action in between those two words. Shavamai Deshir from Asis and Pirish Bebraisa. Maybe, well, it's not in the Mishnah, but it is in the Braisa. And then before, the next line is about Enes Achal, Ashmeina, but before that, there are a couple of steps that are, you're supposed to, if you're learning Tosis carefully, Tosis is expecting you to unpack. Now, oh, okay, well then, why is it not in the Mishnah? Well, it's pretty Pasha. Well, why only the Braisa? Well, because it's Pasha. Well, if it's so Pasha, then why is it even in the Braisa? All of that is implied. And the answer to that is, number one, number two. Answer number one, answer number two, which we'll get to tomorrow. The answer number one is the first anonymous Balatosis says, well, there is a little bit of a Kiddush because I could have imagined that Basa Bachala does not know even Mugdash. And why? Because Enes Bachala said it's already... It already has an iser. This meat is already forbidden to me because it's kachim. So I don't have free use of it however I please. Sometimes it might be a piece of meat that only certain people can eat. You have to be tar, sometimes you have to be a kohen or a kohenes, or only a kohen zachar. Maybe you can only eat in the Beis HaMikdash. You can only eat in Yerushalayim. Depending on whether it's kachim kalim, kachim kachim. Or maybe it's a part of the animal and not allowed to eat at all. It's a part of the animal that's meant to be burnt on Mizbeach. Maybe it's Basar Ola. No one's allowed to eat it. Maybe it's a carbon tame. No one's allowed to eat it. It's either as limited eating or by particular people, particular places, a status of Tahara, or maybe it's also Lagabri. So I would have thought, since it's already Aser, so even if you cook it in milk, there's no sec, and then I eat it, and it's a Kalalistic. By the way, Nataki is a good point. It's not just a habina. Well, that sounds like good maskana. We do accept Enes Uchalas. Right. Tosis, for that, we'll close with this point for now. Right. Tosis says, the reason why Tosef had to tell me is a little bit of a chiddush in telling me that Basuchal is not a Vilgashin, because you could have imagined Enes Uchalas, sir. Come on, Shvolan, that Basuchal is no Kalan Kachin. So, Selvachor, Bekiv Eger, and the Arachanan say, One second. That was a really good point. Einus Akalosa. But we do pass in Einus Akalosa. So why is this a Hamir? Taka, why is Basil Chalo? No, it's a So very briefly, the Kineger gets more complicated. Our Chaner is a little more straightforward. We're going to have, Kineger relates it to Sugis later, but just looking here right now, so there are at least two answers offhand you can give. Number one, well, we had discussed in the past the exceptions to Einus HaLisser. One exception is, yes, generally Einus HaLisser, but Isser Kolel, if the second Isser includes more things in the first one, so the animal, I'm cooking the animal in milk. So the milk wasn't treif before. The milk was just milk. It wasn't a carbon. There's no carbon from milk. So the meat was already asur b'mukdashim, but the milk was kosher. And now I cook them together, so since it's chal in the milk, it's chal in the meat. Isser kolo. It may sometimes also it could be isser mosif. And it can be making this very same piece of meat more asur, because I said before, not all mukdashim are asur legamre. Yeah, besar ola, no one is supposed to be eating. But the meat of most kachim, someone's supposed to eat it. Maybe only certain people, maybe have to be tahar, maybe in the Beis HaMikdash, Jewish Alayim, but most besar kavanos is meant to be eaten. Bas Mechalov is not meant to be eaten at all. So yes, it's true, this piece of besar chatos was already usher for non-Kohanim, but was mutter for Kohanim. Comes Bas Mechalov, it makes it more deeply usher. Now it's usher even for Kohanim. So that's what we call an Isser Moshe. Okay, we have to pick up Mitzvah next tomorrow with the second Teres to the Tosas Kash, the Teres of the Rashbam, and then we'll begin to look at the Rashbam and some of the Ritva as well. Have a marvelous day, Rabbi Yisrael.